Hi, I'm Emily Trotter, and you're listening to Bible Talk on the Nothing But Fine Network. When I was a little girl, my grandfather, who was a gospel singer, always said he was nothing but fine when someone asked him how he was. My hope is that within our studies of God's Word, you will be reminded that through hard seasons and unforeseen circumstances, we can find contentment because God is in control and life is nothing but fine. Hi. Welcome. Glad you're here. I always love to chat at you. I started to say with you. And I feel like you're here, so I guess it is with you. But thanks for being here. So today we're going to talk about, we're still in Matthew. We're almost done. We're almost done. I mean, we're at chapter 19 today. And it's tricky because this could be, you know, it's kind of a controversial topic. I mean, not so much anymore. I mean, it was pretty controversial, you know, when I was growing up. Now I think people don't care much about it, but, you know, God does. So, isn't that the case with most things, that things that we are like, oh, well, we'll do whatever we want, but God cares. So today it's chapter 19. This first part is called marriage and divorce, but I think it's interesting too, to, you know, cause Matthew, as I've said before, in writing his book, it's not in order. It's not chronological. Matthew liked to group things together that he felt were on the same theme. And chapter 18 ends with a parable about an unforgiving servant. And the story is that somebody, a servant had come to, the story starts when Peter says, of course, Peter, when Peter says, Lord, how many times do you forgive someone? Like seven? Because seven, you know, that's the number of completion. That's how many times you have to forgive someone. But Jesus said, I don't say up to seven times, up to 70 times seven, 70 times seven. So that's a lot of forgiving that has to happen. But because Jesus is all about forgiveness, right? And he says that the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that they had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, and he went and threw him in prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants heard and saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master. And what do you think the master said? Well, then his master, after he'd called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? Okay, so this is the parable right before this passage on divorce. And this is the second time that Jesus has talked about divorce. The first time was in the Sermon on the Mount, back in chapter 5. And it's briefly mentioned. He says, don't divorce, whatever. And he says pretty much the same thing here, though he goes into a little bit more detail about it. Because here, so I think that it's interesting, but that we have this whole passage on forgiveness, and then we come into, can you divorce your spouse? Because it's the Pharisees who are trying to trap him in this. Because the rule and the law was that if you were married and you committed adultery, back in Deuteronomy, the punishment for adultery was stoning. Okay? And the note that I thought this was really interesting, and it made me really think about things, because the note that Warren Wiersbe has in his commentary says that while there's no record in the Old Testament that anyone was stoned for committing adultery, this was the divine law. And so the experience of Joseph at the beginning of Matthew, when Mary says, look, I'm pregnant, and Joseph goes, oh, wait a minute. And she's, but no, it's the Holy Spirit's. And he's like, okay. He was going to just give her a certificate of divorce. Okay. So even though it's pretty obvious that something had happened, right? So that's the Joseph they're referring to from back in Matthew. And so it's, and it says, indicates that the Jews used divorce rather than stoning in dealing with an adulterous wife. Well, that made me go, huh. So even if back in the day, they were, you know, these biblical times, even though they were like, oh, well, here's what the rule and what the punishment should be. But that seems a little harsh, and we don't want to do that. So we're just going to do this certificate of divorce. And Jesus is like, okay, this is not at all what was intended for this relationship. So here, the difference here is when he addresses the Pharisees, he goes back all the way to Genesis. Okay. And he tells them, he's like, look, God create. Have you not read that he, this is verse 4 in 19. And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Okay? That's very familiar to us because that's in a lot of wedding ceremonies, right? We've heard that statement before. And then they say, but they say to him, they said, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of a divorce and to put her away? And I think this is the key point for us. He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning, it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. Okay, now this thing, Jesus is saying here that the reason that all this divorce exists and the reason that Moses said okay was because you weren't doing right. And I think from something that I had read, it had become so common that all of these, there were just divorces everywhere, right? And I mean, it's interesting too, because in the Old Testament, I mean, they had multiple wives, right? That kind of fell out of fashion when the Romans came into power, because the Romans, of all people, the Romans weren't for, the Romans weren't for having that, what is it, polyamorous? Is that what it is? If you listen to Coffee Talk, or Let's Talk with me and Amy and Helen, we've had a whole thing on, sister wives, but, it fell out of fashion because of the Romans, and they quit doing it as much. Cause in the New Testament, you really don't see multiple wives like you did in the Old Testament. So my thing is, we in the Old Testament, I mean, what are they talking about? Adultery? You've already got seven wives. Okay. And maidservants and concubines and all those sorts of things. And the thing here is, though, that he says your hardness, the hardness of heart, it was never supposed to be this way. You were supposed to stay married to your spouse the whole time. One spouse forever till you die. Remember, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. Those are in the vows. And also, whatever, that's an oath that is made between the two. Earlier in Matthew, it says, may your yes be yes and your no be no. You need to stick to what you're saying. You can't be changing your mind. You can't have reservations about who you're coupling with, right? And I think that we've really gotten to a place where we can say, well, if this doesn't work out, we'll just, you know, get a divorce. No big deal. And I think it's, I mean, isn't it so common now? It's so common now. And look, let me be honest here. I am the product of a divorce. Okay. Mama and that, my biological father, were divorced, obviously. And I remember in elementary school in Brentwood, Tennessee, I was the only kid in my class for years and years and years and years whose parents were divorced. And, you know, mama worked and grandmother took care of me. And I mean, papa was singing, Jake Hess was singing on the road and was gone a lot. And so it was me and grandmother a lot. And everybody was like, do you live with her? And I'm like, well, sort of, not really. My mom works. She travels and works. And grandmother, you know, keeps me. So not only was divorce kind of not a thing, not as common in where I grew up, but really moms didn't work either. So, I mean, I had double fronts here. But, you know, and I think that, so I have seen this firsthand. Now, do I think that I have been, I had a very happy childhood. I would never, I think now as an adult, and the older that I get and the more therapy that I've been in, I think that there are some things that came out of that, but I am by no means, you know, I guess we're all traumatized, right? We all have that little T trauma. And there have been some things that have affected me, of course. But I was okay. It wasn't a terrible situation, right? And honestly, mama got a certificate of divorce the right way because there was adultery involved. It's why I will never do 23andMe because I don't, as Jim Trotter says, I don't know if I really want to know all the siblings I might have. Look, I am being so open today. I know of at least four. There could be as many as seven or eight. Mama and I tried to count recently. So it's just best if I don't look into it. Okay. So she's free and clear, right? However, it was such a hard decision for her. And she says she prayed about it. She was like, I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And she would tell all of you this story. Okay. I don't feel bad about sharing this. And she spoke to the Lord about it, and he said, it's fine. Yes, this is okay. You'll be fine. Okay. So I guess I was in my early 30s, and I was in a Bible study with mama. And so I was the youngest person in there by 20 years, right? And I remember this passage coming up. And maybe not this one exactly, and I don't even remember what we were studying, but the topic of divorce came up. And all of these women, some of who had been divorced and some that hadn't. And I remember saying, well, but yeah, I know that the Bible says right here that, I mean, you can't divorce and you're committing adultery. What, right? I mean, are all of you commit? And they were all like, yeah, no. And I was like, I was so upset. I was so, so upset. I mean, I cried. I argued with those women up and down because it has been redeemed. And the blessings that mama has had after make it seem that the Lord is blessing it and redeeming it, right? And I have often asked her, do you think you just shouldn't have, why did you marry him? And she always says, oh, but then I wouldn't have you. And I'm like, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. But wouldn't it be better if you had never married him? I mean, the answer is yes. But I wouldn't have you. Well, sure. I just might look different, right? I might not be this, I won't be me, but anyway. But so I don't know. I can't speak to that, all that led up to it. But reading this and reading some of the things, it seems like it wasn't a good idea to begin with. And she had some reservations. I think my grandparents had some reservations, but it went on because I'm just going to make it work, right? I don't think Jerry had that same feeling. Y'all, if you don't laugh, you'll cry, okay? I tend to make a joke out of everything, but I really honestly think it's funny. But I just don't know that. Now, I don't think that God intended for Mama to have to be in a bad marriage and to be so unhappy, or that he intended for me to have, that was not his perfect plan. That is not the path that he set out for Mama was to be a divorced woman and a single mom. I don't think that it was it at all. But I think because she was such her faith and the way that she talked to the Lord about it and all of that, everything has been redeemed. And I think a lot of what had gone on in that Bible study where I was so upset was maybe a miscommunication and a misunderstanding of what I was trying to say and what they were trying to teach me, right? But the thing is, as I've realized, God does hate divorce. It was not what he intended at all. It was not what he intended. He intended for us to have forgiveness, for there to be compassion. I mean, he refers so many times in the New Testament about Jesus and the church being the bride and bridegroom, about the marriage feast that's coming. And if it was something that was so, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. If that was the way that God looked at it, there is no way that he would tie Jesus into an analogy with it. It's an important relationship that should be reverent, that should be honored, that should be trusted, that should be committed, that you should be working in. And I'm not saying that, of course, there are situations where, yeah. And again, God redeems and God forgives. But we need to look at our hearts. And we need to work on our marriages. Because they are the foundation of our homes. And if God is not in your marriage and in your home, then God is not there, period. I mean, if God wasn't at your wedding, he's not in your marriage. And while God is the only thing perfect in my marriage, his presence there is the only thing that's perfect, because I'm not and Jim's not. And because of God's perfection and his righteousness, if Jim and I are united under God, with God, it's going to give us the stamina, the strength, the patience, the courage, the forgiveness that we need to have a good, strong marriage. This seems a little weird, and I'm not a counselor, but I have been there. I don't want to say broken home. I was happy. I really had a great time. I was adored by my grandparents. I was the oldest grandchild and the star of the show. My grandmother would sing music for me to dance to. And I loved to study for spelling tests because she made it fun, and I mean, I had her undivided attention almost all the time. So, I mean, I didn't suffer. That's for sure. But I've been there. I understand. And God does too. But he doesn't want us to be wounded in these relationships. I mean, the disciples afterwards, after he's talked about this, the disciples say, oh, if such is the case of the man and his wife, is it better just not even to marry? Should we have all? Because some of them were married, right? Peter, we know we met Peter's mother-in-law, right? The Lord healed her. She lived in Capernaum. But they all were like, wait a minute. And then Jesus goes on to say, some people should marry, some people shouldn't, but that's their own calling. That's all, I'm not making a blanket statement about it. You know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, never married, but that was right for him. But this scared the disciples. They were like, maybe we should just never marry. None of us should ever marry because it's going to be hard. And there's no way out. We should look at it that way. That's how serious it needs to be taken. And Jesus says, no, no, no. No, that's not what I'm saying. Because it's good. It's good. Marriage is good. You got to make the important things the important things. And just remember, whether you're married or divorced seven times, God still loves you.